The Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38, and verse 33 and 34. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this wonderful opportunity, the privilege to come to your holy sanctuary once again, to adore your holy name, O God. We thank you for giving us this wonderful fellowship this morning. Lord, help us to experience your presence in our midst. As we meditate upon your word, Father, we ask you to speak to us and help us to be the doers of your word rather remaining as just listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is one of the familiar passage for all of us, and the context: Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. The first passion prediction, but which was totally misunderstood by Peter and other disciples. The same biblical portion can be read from the Matthew chapter 16, verse 20 to 28, and Luke 9, 20 to 27. This was the first time Jesus openly revealed or openly declared the very purpose of his incarnation, or the ultimate aim of his mission, to suffer and to bear the cross. And it was shocking for Peter. Not only for Peter, for all other disciples to listen to him, to listen to Jesus. Because they all expected Jesus to be a revolutionary who will overthrow the Roman Empire and establish a new kingdom. And he will be the ruler, as being his disciples, they also will get some esteemed positions. That was their expectation. When we look into Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 and 28, there, Peter raises a question to Jesus. "Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" That Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Again in Matthew 20 and 21, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom.'" So the disciples were expecting something else from Jesus. They were expecting the day they will sit on the throne and judging the people of Israel. So they were just having that kind of dream deep in their heart. But here, Jesus saying that, you know, "I'm going to suffer. I'm going to bear a cross." And it was really, really unexpected for Peter and his followers. And so when we look into the scripture portions, it's obvious that the disciples, almost all of them, they followed Jesus with the intention of fulfilling their self-motives of power, position, and possession. So as we claim ourselves as the followers of Jesus Christ, as we claim as the Christians or true believers, I think it is necessary for us to examine ourselves. What is our real intention in following Jesus Christ or being a Christian, being a follower of Christ? Are we following Christ just to get our things done? That's a very important question. We need to examine ourselves. So if we are following Christ with selfish motives, then no doubt we will often face disappointments, discouragements in our Christian life. If you are following Christ with a selfish motive. The same thing happened to Peter. When Jesus declared his immediate future persecution and suffering, it was totally against his expectations. It was totally against his internal desires, his selfish motives to have a glorious future with all comforts and luxuries. So he couldn't admit that. And verse 32, there we read, he started rebuking Jesus. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Even though it is not recorded in Mark's gospel, Matthew has recorded it in Matthew 16:28. Peter saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. So that's the way he began to rebuke Jesus. Lord, it must never happen to you. So here, Peter is trying to drag Jesus into his way, even forgetting his position as a disciple, he is commanding Jesus to act according to his wish, his will. He somehow wants to drag Jesus into his track, his way, saying, the Lord, this must never happen to you. That is totally against my expectation about you. So the same thing can happen to you and me when we are restrained with our selfish motives, selfish desires in following Jesus Christ. Our prayers may change from pleading to commanding. Sometimes I've heard people praying that, Lord, you must do this in this hour, within these days. Commanding Jesus. Why? Because we want to see that our selfish desires are fulfilled, not God's will. The same thing is happening with Peter here. He is saying that, Lord, this must never happen to you. And in verse 33, there we see Jesus' response to Peter's rebuke. There we read, but turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Jesus rebuked Peter so harshly. Though he rebuked Peter, it was meant for all other his disciples, because all others were standing nearby with such a humble and pious facial expression. You know, deep in their heart, they too had the same feeling. Even though Peter just expressed it, even all other disciples, they also had the same feeling inside. This must not happen to you, Lord. So that's why he turned and looking at his disciple, he rebuked Peter, using very harsh word. Get behind me, Satan. See, instead of calling him Kepha or Peter, or Simon, son of John, here Jesus is calling him, "Get behind me, Satan." In the whole gospel narration, only two times we see Jesus use some harsh words against his disciples. One here, rebuking Peter, saying that, "Get behind me, Satan." And the second time, that's what we find in Gospel of Luke there, Gospel of John, where Jesus addressing Judas as the one doomed in John 17:12, the one doomed. And here he rebuking Peter as, "Satan, get behind me, Satan." And when we read the scripture, the following verses, Jesus explains them the problem, why they don't understand the divine plan, why they are fail to understand the divine plan for Jesus' life. So why did they feel disturbed or uncomfortable or disappointed listening to the core of the purpose of Jesus' mission or ministry? And Jesus clearly explains the reason. It is applicable for you and me, even today. Why do we feel anxious and disappointed when God leads us to a different way? When God takes us to a different way apart from our personal desires, why we feel so anxious? And Jesus clearly explains the reason. The reason is nothing but this is, there we read, "You are not setting your mind on divine things, but on human things." That is the reason. Peter, why you are disturbed listening to my mission? Because you are not setting your mind on divine things, but on human things. That is the problem. So why we are disturbed? Sometimes our prayers are not answered as we wish. Why we feel so disappointed once our plans are not working out as we wish? Because we are not setting our mind on the things, divine things, rather on the human things. This happens when we are controlled by the evil. When we are controlled by the evil, we will be affected with the spiritual blindness. The spiritual blindness will forfeit divine visions. As Paul writes to the church in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That's what Paul's saying. The God of this world has blinded them. Evil, when the evil blind us, we will fail to see the divine visions. The same thing happens, one of the very familiar biblical character in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers chapter 22, there we read about the Balaam, the prophet Balaam, the God's servant, the anointed one. God gave him such a spiritual gift of oracles. And he was asked by the king, Balak, to go and curse the Israelites, because his words has the power. And we know the entire story. The first time, Balaam refused king's request. And second time, king again sends a group of esteemed people from the community and with more offer of more gold and silver. And the king told him that, I will do whatever you want. You just go and rebuke or curse the people. And when we read further, there we see Balaam untie his donkey and he is traveling to curse the Israel. But on the way, suddenly the donkey stopped. Donkey stopped because the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in the hand. So the donkey turned off from the road and went to a field. And Balaam began to strike the donkey. And there, something amazing happened. The donkey began to speak. Donkey asked Balaam, why you are striking me? I am your faithful, obedient donkey. Why you are striking me? Then the Balaam responds, you are fooling me. You are not going forward. The donkey said, I can see the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. That's why. That's the reason. So here, the servant of God who has an anointment upon him, he failed to see the angel of the Lord because he had a spiritual blindness. His eyes were filled with the gold and silver. This can happen to you and me when we are so much filled with the worldly things. So Jesus told Peter and also to the other disciples, you are not setting your mind on divine things. You are only just concentrating on the human things. Again, Jesus says, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. If you want to become my follower, deny yourself. Deny themselves. What does it really mean? Deny yourself or deny themselves. It is not that leave everything you have. No. Deny yourself doesn't mean that you leave everything in this world. Your possessions, your job, your career, no, nothing. The deny yourself means deny the desires of human things or worldly things. Deny everything that would hinder your focus on divine things. Deny everything that would shrink your spiritual growth. Deny everything that would lessen your love for the Lord. Deny everything that would stop your prayer life. Deny everything that would stop your worship life. You can add into that so many things. You deny all those things and focus on the divine things. Then only you can be my follower. It is a fact that he often says, we can travel by two boats at the same time, right? It's a colloquial phrase we use. And the Bible also says, we cannot serve two masters at the same time. You must deny one. If you want to become my true follower, you deny all that hinders your spiritual growth. And set your mind on things on above. So leaving the selfish desires, it simply means to yielding to God's will. Putting God's wills first. That is the whole message of the Lent. Self-denial. As we are going through a Lenten season. Jesus asking Peter and his followers, or all who are standing beside, he said, let them deny themselves, those who want to become my follower. The same call for you and me. If you want to become my true follower, deny yourself, deny everything that hinders your spiritual growth, that hinders your relationship with the Lord. But let me remind you that it's not an easy thing. It's not at all an easy thing to set our focus on the Lord and live. It is not an easy thing. We need extra strength and power of the Holy Spirit to live such a genuine life as a true follower of Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God is calling us to yield to the divine will. We are not supposed to move with our own selfish motives or selfish desires. Rather, look unto God, ask Him to reveal His will for our life. If we continue to move in our own desires, we will be disappointed. So I pray that may this season of Lent give us new insight to walk with the Lord. Amen. God bless you all.